We are privileged now to have our own dear sister Amanda speak to us this morning, share the gospel.
Oh, hello.
Oh, that's loud.
I feel like I'm in a can.
You are.
All right, I have to get a few things in order. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Doesn't it sounds a little funny? All right, well here I am. Knowing that it was Happy Labor Day weekend to all of us. Knowing that it was Labor Day weekend, I was thinking it could just be 10 of us, you know? And that would be awesome. But I honestly have been praying the last week, especially this weekend, about who would be here this Sunday. And because I could get fixated on the nerves, and but this is so not about me, and I feel like if you knew me in real life, you would know that, like, this is not in my natural wheelhouse. Talking, yes, but talking in front of groups and especially on a Sunday morning is proof that God is doing something. And I so thank him for using someone like me to do something. And so it is a great honor to step into this position on a Sunday morning. And I thank you for a little extra grace today. What I wanted to kind of, I don't know why this was impressed on me as I was preparing to come and share. I had been thinking since Pastor Skip asked me to cover this Sunday about what exactly I looked at the reading and what exactly I would share, and nothing was coming to me. Like, and I was really struggling, and I was really trying hard to, you know, read all that I could and wait for God to say what exactly I was supposed to share, make something stand out to me. And it wasn't really until last night that it all kind of came together. And actually yesterday early in the day, because then I just decided, listen, I'm not looking at these notes one more time. And what comes out is what comes out. God bless it. Lord help us. And so that's kind of where I was at. But when I was preparing to come, something that I was thinking of is, like, for some of you guys, church is so easy. Like, getting up and getting dressed and showing up, you just have this anticipation and excitement. And you do it, and that is awesome. But I know that at least for one of you, or maybe some of you, coming to church on a Sunday morning is a decision that you make, not just based on if you have something to wear, but based on, like, the weight of what you carry around with you in your life, the weight of maybe what happened the day before or the week or the season you might be in. Church is intentional. And I feel like when you come to church, just like what Anna was saying, like, it's not about what you wear and what you look like on the outside. It is about what's going on in your heart. And even then, if you think you have to dress that thing up to come here, then we're doing something wrong. Because what you should be able to do, in my opinion, is come into the doors with all that you've been carrying around. And what I know is that God offers an exchange right at the door. And this is not for the lost. It is for the lost. It does apply to them. But what I'm specifically talking about is people who've maybe been Christians their entire lives. They've never known anything but it, but knowing Jesus and having that in their lives. And yet we come in here thinking we have to be perfect. We have to have everything under control, and there can't be any brokenness, and there can't be any saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. And I think that is such a lie of the enemy. And so what I'm praying for our congregation, because what other churches do is what other churches do, but for our people who come here, man, we need to be gracious and loving with each other. We need to be people who are not just fixated on every imperfection that other people have, but we are just so focused on Jesus in them. Look for Jesus in each other. and receive what he's applied to your life and then give that to other people. And it really is a struggle. And it's not because anyone has specifically done anything to me, but I have struggled with this. I have got some legit walls. Okay, Trump has nothing on the walls that I have built around myself. And I do not trust a whole lot of people with all that Miss Amanda is. And not that what you see isn't what you get, because it really is. My sisters are here, they would know best. But a lot of fear and a lot of stuff that we carry around is we just think we have to keep it secret and we have to keep it hidden. And I am telling you right now, you come into the church and you get to exchange all of your brokenness for the wholeness that Jesus offers. And you get to trade in all the chaos and the mess that your life can sometimes be for just peace. And that is because of what Jesus did. It is not because of anything you did or anything you earned. And so just receive that today. And if when you got ready for church this morning, it was a decision and it was a difficult decision because you feel the weight of whatever it is you've been carrying around, whatever your circumstances might be, I would say this morning, let's just rest in the love that God has for us and the assurance that he is in control, because he really is. And whatever the thing is that you think you have to keep your attention fixed on and you have to just worry it into the ground, listen, you don't. God tells you not to. So just listen to him and rest in his love this morning. I wanted to open with prayer before we get into any of this other stuff, because man, we need Jesus to come. We need his spirit to come, and we have felt him this morning. I've felt him this morning, and I thank you to the worship team and to Cousin Larry and to everybody who steps in to fill a position while Pastor Skip is away. I know how much it means to him, and they're able to go and do whatever they have on their calendar because they have peace of leaving this place and knowing things will be taken care of. And so I just want to extend thank you to you for that. So let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for each person that you brought here. As I was praying about this week, Lord, I just said, bring who you want to bring, Lord. And we know people are camping and people are doing different things and are away on trips, Lord, but these, it's filling these seats today are the ones that you want to hear, whatever comes out of my mouth today, Lord. And so we pray that we are able to glean what is from you, Lord, that we are rightly to see what is truth, Lord, from you, from your word. And I pray that your truth sits well in the spirits of these people, Lord. And I pray, God, that you just have your way. I pray your spirit falls on every person here, Lord, that you just give us a peace and a trust that you really are in control. And we just thank you for this day, Lord. We ask a blessing over it in Jesus' name. So I made some notes, and we are going to look at them. So just to keep on track a little bit, and let's see where we're at. Our scripture reading this week was from the book of Isaiah, as we know. The chapters for the week, I know that many of you guys are following along with the Bible reading, and God bless you for it. But I know also that there are some of you guys out there that are not, and God bless you too. But just for those who might not know, we're in the book of Isaiah, and the week's reading was chapters 34 through 49. And that's a lot. There's a lot going on. And I got so distracted by how many little nuggets of truth there are throughout Isaiah and even in this portion that we were reading this week. And rather than overthinking it, I just went right back to where God just kept highlighting something. And so I'm going to focus in on Isaiah 36 and 37. And this is the account of the Assyrian king and King Hezekiah. And what moved me about this wasn't necessarily the story and the details and the people. It was just seeing the power of God on display, seeing how God responded to his faithful servant, and then seeing him come in a big way on behalf of his people. And so that's what we are going to look at today. So I read the scripture and then I just kind of wrote some notes here to give the general story rather than reading both chapters. And so I'm going to just summarize it a little bit for us. So what we have happening in chapter 36 is the fortified cities of Judah had been overtaken by Assyria. Sennacherib, I might be saying his name wrong, but we're going to say Sennacherib. He was the king of Assyria at the time, and he sent his field commander with an army to Jerusalem to speak on his behalf to Hezekiah, who was the king of Jerusalem. He sent this guy, and he was mocking God, and he was telling them, he was telling the people not to listen to King Hezekiah. He encouraged them, excuse my hair. He encouraged them to make peace with Assyria, and he was just saying that no matter what Hezekiah was saying about the Lord, that nobody had ever delivered a people from the hand of these wicked Assyrians. And he cited all these examples, and he said, "How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" And the people remained silent as the king told them to. And then the palace admin guy, the secretary, and the recorder all got together. They went with their clothes torn. They went to tell King Hezekiah all that had been said. And then upon hearing that, the king tore his clothes, which is a sign of mourning and grief and repentance in different parts of the Bible. And he tore his clothes and he went to the temple of the Lord. Humbly, he went to the temple of the Lord. He sent his crew then to go tell God's prophet Isaiah what had happened and what was said. And then Isaiah sent a message back to Hezekiah from the Lord saying, "Do not be afraid of what you have heard." And then he spoke about what would happen to the king of Assyria. He gave details. This king of Assyria had blasphemed against God Almighty. And then after hearing a report that the Egyptian king was going to come and fight the Assyrian king and his armies, then the Assyrian king sent messages to Hezekiah again saying not to depend on God. Man, they're relentless. Not to depend on God. He again brought up what other Assyrian kings throughout history had done to nations, blah, blah, blah. They had been merciless and they had a merciless track record. And after receiving the message, Hezekiah went to the temple of the Lord and he laid out the letter before the Lord from his enemy and he prayed. And in part, he said, "You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth." And after that, Isaiah sent Hezekiah a message from the Lord. And God said through Isaiah, "Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib." And then God gives his response again regarding this wicked king. And he assures Hezekiah that he will defend this city and save it. And then the angel of the Lord, no big deal, right, went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. Sennacherib then withdrew after that, duh, right? And he went to Nineveh, and while he was worshiping one of his false gods one day, two of his sons went in and killed him with a sword. And then a different son succeeded him as king. So just what God said had happened, and God came through. Amen, yeah. King Hezekiah and his people were facing an extreme threat. Their circumstances were completely out of their control, and their enemy was ready to invade. Yeah. Okay? It's like David and Goliath kind of a situation. Yeah. And Hezekiah was in this impossible situation. He could have chosen to shrink back in fear. Yeah. He could have gone the route that he had gone in the past to go make an alliance with someone who had more horses and more chariots and in hopes that that somehow would help. Yeah. He could have surrendered to his enemy. But that is not what he did. He responded in faith. He knew the gravity of the situation. Like, we're not facing the Assyrian army, right? But everything you read in the Bible about them, they're wicked and they're evil. He knew that the threat was real, and he knew that that enemy had a track record. And rather than just wallowing in his self-pity about it, he sought the wise counsel of one of God's prophets, Isaiah, and he trusted God to intervene and have his way. And you know, God heard Hezekiah's prayer, and he responded in a mighty way. Judah's enemy, the Assyrians, they were ruthless. They were causing destruction everywhere they went. They were not only that, they were so arrogant. You read the arrogance of these people. They were merciless, and they believed themselves to be unstoppable. They thought, listen, no nation can stand in our way, and no God can stand in our way. And you know, they mocked God, and then they faced the consequences. God is not going to be mocked. He's not, and he is perfectly capable of defending his honor for his glory if he so chooses. Hezekiah knew that the enemy was powerful, but they were nothing compared to his God. Hezekiah humbled himself and he prayed and he turned to the Lord, the only God who saves. So the question that I have for us, you know, this morning is, when the enemy is at our door, how do we respond? Our enemy, our personal enemies, don't look the same as an entire army coming against us. Sometimes it can feel that way, but it doesn't necessarily look the same. Do we do what Hezekiah did? And when we have an enemy coming after us, do we take that thing that the enemy has said about us or done to us and bring it before the Lord and say, God, look what they've been saying, look what they say they're going to do, and trust that he knows what to do with that? Or do we do the other thing, where we try to control that thing all on our own, and instead of bringing it to God, we bring it to our neighbor, we bring it to our friends, we put it on the social media, we just complain about it, and then we do everything we can to try and fix it and manage it and deal with it in our own strength? Listen, that never ends well. That never ends well. I have personal experience with it, okay? And sometimes I think I'm quite good at it. You know, when somebody does something against you and you have the right words to say, why not say them? You have a little action. You have a little action you can take. Why not take it? And that is you being controlled by the flesh and just pleasing the enemy all day long. The truth is that God is able to do all that needs to be done on our behalf. But we often leave him out, or we seek him as a last resort. We've exhausted all other resources. Maybe we should pray, you know? Listen, he is not one of many who is able to save. He is the only one. The only one. And we have access to him 100% of the time. And man, that's convicting to know, just excuse this, how often we have gone out and tried to do things in our own strength when God is just like, he's ready. He's got an angel ready to go take out the enemy on our behalf, and yet we just ignore him and we try to go it alone. The Israelites done this many, many times. Yeah. We're not a lot different than them. Yeah. We just are on this side of the cross. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm guilty of doing that. And, you know, Rex isn't here today, but man, I really enjoyed his message last week. And do I ever want to be part of that remnant that God looks after? But the one thing that, one of the things that Rex said that stood out to me that was an encouragement was that God is a source of joy in the middle of the ugly. In the middle of the ugly, God is a source of joy. He's right about that. And, you know, in our family, we had been recently dealing with a situation where we had a person outside of the family kind of on attack mode, just wanting to hurt. You know, and I know a lot of you guys have, you know, experienced that in your lives from people who you think are there to love and protect and maybe have a little humility. They're the ones who just seem to have daggers. I'm talking somebody who, once they injure you, they then insult you. Yeah. Right? We know what that is. They wound you, and then they stand there, and then they just dump salt in it all day long. It is painful. It is painful, and it's like you feel completely powerless. There's nothing you can do. You want to go to bat on behalf of your loved one, and all that ends up happening when you think of all the right comebacks and all of the best ways to respond, in what happens to me anyways, is that I always just feel like, man, does that ever highlight my lack of faith in God? It never does it. If you're able to say the thing to the enemy that you wanted to say, and you say it perfectly and right on point, and you can see that it has done its job, you almost immediately, especially as a believer, you feel the remorse from the Holy Spirit on your heart. And if you don't, man, you need to pray. You need to get close to Jesus. You do not want to get away with that kind of stuff. You don't want to get away with hateful speech and hateful reactions, because all that shows is that you're not trusting in your God, who can take out an entire army of men in one night who were standing against you.
Yes.
So then, as I read this account, after my weakness was shown in my flesh, it immediately caused me to have a change of mind and a change of heart, because then I was able to not just focus on this painful thing that was happening over here, but I was able to say, okay, Amanda, who are you trusting in? And then peace came. And in fixing my eyes on Jesus and not this painful thing over here, it didn't make the painful thing go away, but it gave me eyes to see it differently. And I thank God so much for that. He intervened for Hezekiah, and he will intervene for us.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Much like the Assyrians, we have a real enemy that we face in the devil. He is also quite arrogant. He is merciless. He is cunning. And you know, the thing that he knows about himself that we sometimes forget is he is a filthy liar.
Amen.
He is a filthy liar. He comes in and he whispers lies to create fear, and then we believe him. Especially if it's involving somebody that we love, we think, oh no, that is right, I should say that thing, and I should do that thing, and I should go and try and handle that on my own. The enemy loves nothing more than for you to try and do something without God, because he knows he is all over that. And with this family stuff specifically, and this non-family member, because of Christ in me, I was able to pray for the enemy, you know? And you're not able to do that without Jesus. And it's the realization that we are not fighting flesh and blood. Like, this person causing the pain, no matter who it is being controlled by something so much more powerful and evil. Yeah. See, because what I know is that our God does know best. He does. He is defender, he is redeemer, and he is able. As much as you think you love someone and you need to come to their defense, listen, God loves them more. And as much as you love yourself and you believe you need defense, God loves you more. I was giving power to fear instead of seeking the one who is able to make every single crooked path in our family straight. God works even painful things together for good, and that is what we have to remember. Our circumstances are all different. We go through different things. Some things are similar, but nothing is as unique to you as what you are going through and how it makes you feel based on your personality and your circumstances. And God sees right into the core of it. He knows what makes us tick. And he is perfectly capable to apply his healing balm to all of the areas of brokenness. And at the root of your anger, really it is pain. And really it is fear. And you can't fix that on your own.
Right.
There's no pill that's going to fix that. Your friend's counsel might help for a minute, but it is not going to heal you. There is only one who saves. We cannot continue to be ruled by fear. We cannot allow our circumstances and the threats that come from the enemy and the painful realities of our lives or any other thing that might come in and sap your faith. You cannot allow it to have power over you. Listen, your God sent one angel to take out 185,000 men in an army who were standing against his people. You don't think God can come through for you? God deserves first place in our lives. He deserves to be first place. Nobody else has won that privilege. Nobody else deserves that position. He is the only one who saves. He is your redeemer, and he is the one who created you and will sustain you. And you know, he's willing to do it. He's willing to look at your life and look at your stuff and look at your fear and your insecurity and your pain and all the stuff that you've done to yourself and that others have done to you. And he is willing to make something beautiful out of that thing. He will do it. He's willing, he wants to, he delights to do that for us. And what stands in our way is our own selves. Our enemies do not stand a chance against our God. And so when fear starts to creep in, that's when we need to be praising louder. That's when we need to be praying harder and be trusting that your God is able. No matter what you're facing, our response to fearful situations, cunning enemies, and all manner of impossible circumstances that are stacked against us needs to be faith. It needs to be faith. And give yourself grace if that's not the first response, you know, because God is so gracious with us. Faithful people seek and trust God to deliver according to his will, for his glory, for our good. Whatever his timeline might be, he will come through for you. Faithful people pray. Praying is the response of trusting. You're going to bring it to God. If you didn't think he could do anything or would do anything, you're going to keep your mouth shut. When we find ourselves in these desperate situations and we're facing this seemingly unbeatable foe, we have to remember what Cousin Larry always encourages us. The battle belongs to the Lord alone. Amen. The battle belongs to the Lord alone. His victory is our victory. That's awesome because he is always victorious. We are going to be facing this enemy in the devil for the rest of our lives until Jesus comes back. But we can rest assured that struggle, as difficult as it is and as in our face it is sometimes, it is temporary. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. I read in some Bible notes recently this weekend in studying some of this that the fight against Satan is the fight behind every other fight that you'll fight. And that he is the enemy behind all other enemies. Do we believe that is true? We're going to handle that person doing all that they can to hurt us and take us out a whole lot differently if we know you're not even really the one in control of that. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the Assyrian army. Our battle is spiritual. And so if we want to blame someone for our pain, let's blame the real enemy. And let's seek God about how to handle that enemy. The war has been won, and that is something we can be so thankful for. But these battles that we face are going to rage on as long as we're living on planet Earth. Knowing that, we should respond faithfully in these situations. We are light and salt. And it is important for you to be that to the broken, hurting world that's out there. But it is just as important for you to remember that when you're dealing with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If somebody walks into this church and they see us behaving in a way that is not God-honoring in our responses and reactions to one another, what witness is that for them? They're going to say, oh, listen, I heard what they said over there. I am not sharing my heart in that direction. And that is not what we want. God, forgive me for when I've done it myself. We want to be a safe place.
Yes.
And if you're carrying the presence of God and the Holy Spirit is on you and you're walking around being a gossip, those two things don't line up. What does the word say about the same mouth comes praise and cursing? And every single one of us is guilty of it at different times. So don't feel condemned about that. Feel that the Lord cares enough about you to highlight some of the stuff in our lives so that he can come in and heal and make us more like his son. Isaiah is a testament of hope in the Lord. That is true. There's a lot of judgment, but there is a whole lot of hope. And at the beginning of the year, Pastor Skip asked us to be looking for Jesus in the Old Testament. And I know some people were like, let's just get to Isaiah, because man, it is on display. That's Jesus. He saves his people from himself, from themselves. And he'll continue to do that. And he is mighty to do it. He keeps doing it because he alone can save. Not just bring people to the point of salvation, but save them continually from themselves. He gives such grace to us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is worthy of our attention, and he is faithful. Just like what Norma said this morning, our God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Our God of yesterday is the God of today. We have got to read the Old Testament to know how active and the ways that God was active and the power that is on display when he just splits a sea so his people can get to safety. This is impossible circumstances, and God comes through faithfully every single time. Do you believe that he is who he says he is and that he can do the things he says he can do? We need him. We need him. This morning, I would ask, you know, God to show each of our hearts where we have allowed the enemy a foothold. The places that we like to keep secret, that we don't want anybody to know about, where the enemy is just having a field day. We need to allow God to come into those areas to heal and restore every broken and fearful place in our hearts. Because there is work to be done for the kingdom of God. And listen, he wants to use you. He wants to use you. But if you are not willing, he will use somebody else. Before we close, I just want to share this verse. We'll go back to Isaiah 35. Just chapter 35, verse 3 and 4. And this is what, you know, this is a charge for us, for each other, and for ourselves to receive this for yourself and then to take it out into the world. It's for all of us. Joy of the redeemed is the heading for this chapter. And verse 3 says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. That is what we should be doing with each other. He is going to come to save. It doesn't matter what circumstances that we're facing. He is faithful. You know, with all this Hurricane Harvey stuff that's on the news, some of the stuff is just so hard to watch. You see such devastation. You hear these stories of people being rescued by boat off of their roof because that's where the water line is. I mean, it's more than we can comprehend. And it's so painful. And you expect just devastated people every time you hear an account. And you know what I've been seeing a lot of? thousands of people are displaced, right? And people who just came from their homes are being interviewed, and they are sharing their stories that are so full of hope. They're so full of hope. They might have lost every earthly possession that they own, but they're so thankful that their neighbors made it out, you know? And, you know, my mom came in. She told me a story that she had seen on the news, and it was a little girl, and I guess that after finding out that she and her family were going to have to move to another city, she said, "That's okay. We can make other friends as long as we have Jesus." A little girl. In the middle of the most ugly, God is a source of joy. And He is so faithful to come through. I would say, let's face our lives boldly and bravely, knowing that we have a God who can command an angel on our behalf anytime He wants. And we can trust that when He doesn't, there is a greater purpose for our lives. He is faithful no matter what. So I would ask that we're just going to, I'm going to have everybody kind of stand up in our closing. I asked Maddie, I guess Amber is back there now, to just, we're going to just close with a song. And just let this be a reminder for your spirit of who your God is and what He is capable of doing and who, just who He is for you. It's an old song called Made Me Glad. And if we could just sing it together faithfully, trusting that this is who our God is. So we'll just do that in closing. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day. Lord, I thank You for this reminder to our hearts, Lord, that You are the one who will fight our battles for us, that You are able, You are faithful, God. You are the only one who saves. Lord, I thank You for this congregation, Lord, and I pray that You do make us more like You, Lord, in the way that we love You, in the way that we love each other, and the way that we serve each other in this broken world, Lord, that we're in. We thank You, God, for coming and for saving even today. And we ask that You just be with us and encourage our hearts, Lord, no matter what we see, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. And I do lift up all of these people, Lord, down in Texas and all of these families, Lord, who are facing such an unknown future. Lord, we know that You are in charge, and I pray that You continue to mobilize Your body, God, to love and serve these people and give us, Lord, the prompting to pray and to take action how You would have us take action, Lord. We just thank You for this day. We pray a blessing over Pastor Skip and Carol as they make their way home. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You are dismissed.